Good morning. Shalom dan selamat pagi semua. 66 years and 359 days ago, a nation was born. On midnight at the Tunku Atusama building in the clock tower, when it rang midnight, the Union Jack went down from the flagpole, and up came a new flag. I'm not talking about Malaysia yet. I want to give Malaysia the proper due order when we invite two other nation states to join us as well. Well, three actually. Yeah, but let's not go into that. Yeah, it's very sad, right? So I want to give Sabah and Sarawak their place, although I might refer to them time and time again because of the great work that we've been doing under Pantai Baptist Church and how we've been helping our Borneo brothers and sisters in Christ. Today, I would like to focus predominantly on Malaya. Tanah Melayu, that goes from Perlis to Johor, north to south, and then goes from west to east, from the Klang Valley to the likes of Terengganu and Kelantan. It's interesting for us to think that God, when he was thinking about the nations coming to him and singing every tribe, every tongue, every people, every land to give glory, to give honor, to give praise to our God, he considered very deeply Malaysia and Malaya as well. This is the privilege that we have, brothers and sisters. I wonder if many of us will remember the testimony of our friend in Bible Society Malaya, Bible Study Malaysia, Matthew Punus, where he reminds us that in 1611, the King James Bible was published out. Not even 10 years later, in 1619, we had the New Testament in Bahasa Melayu printed out. God, from the very early days, God, the Ancient of Days. Do we know what that? Do you know what that is? What that translates in Malay? Yang abadinya, from eternal past, had kept us in mind, brothers and sisters, for the testimony of the gospel to permeate from Malaya to the ends of the earth. So today, we're taking a break from the Book of Psalms. We have much to praise God for Malaysia, for sure. But I would like us to take a moment of reflection as we look at what is actually constitutively required of us as Christians in our beloved country. I feel that many of us, Malaysians especially, okay, especially those in Malaya, may have this feeling or the theology that comes up a lot in the past 20, 30 years was very highly emphasized on the idea that we are sojourners. Yeah? We are here for a moment, another place or later. Here is our temporary home. Our real home is in heaven with God. Theologically, I would say I agree. Politically, okay? Not politics like in whichever party that you are supporting. That one doesn't matter. But from a political standpoint, I did notice that many people had used that passage or that theology to give excuse to say, oh, maybe I'm not meant to settle here. We are migrants from other countries, right? Maybe here is our temporary home, you know? Maybe we should strive to go somewhere else like England, Australia, New Zealand, Italy, Germany, Switzerland, Denmark, wherever the Lord will take us, although it may be in our actual selfish desires of our hearts. But I like the way Paul Barker, a former lecturer here in STM Malaysia, now he's a bishop in Sydney, he himself, who has spent over 20 years as a lecturer here in Malaysia, he said this very clearly: you can take the Malaysian out of Malaysia, but you cannot take the Malaysia out of Malaysian. You can take the Malaysian outside of Malaysia, put him somewhere else, but you can never take the Malaysian, the Malaysianness out of the Malaysian. Don't believe me? Ask every Malaysian that you know that's overseas. Tell them what they miss the most. Guarantee is either kari laksa, nasi lemak, They had to learn to make it themselves. Even though, but you're Chinese, what? The best Shanghai and Beijing restaurants are in the shores of Melbourne or in London. Say, no. Once in a while, I need my Maggi goreng. I want us to recognize that that which is implanted in us, we're Chinese, but not really, Indians, but not really. We are Malaysian, and God made that for us as a bounty for our prosperity in Malaysia, or in Malaya especially, and also to be used mightily for His glory from Kuala Lumpur to the Klang Valley, throughout Malaysia, and to the ends of the earth. So let me read to you from the book of Micah. Micah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. You may hear of this verse very often. It's usually used by social justice warriors, especially in verse 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I would like to expound on that a little bit more, because it's more than just social. It's more than just charity. It's more than just doing our bit while waiting for the Lord to come and establish His kingdom. No, we have a deeper role to play. Yeah? So let me read the text. I'll give a bit of background, and then we'll go straight into application, and let us take moments to say, you know what? I should be doing more for my country. I'm not saying that nobody here is patriotic. I'm not saying that everyone here is unpatriotic. But I'm saying that every Malaysian, especially in Semenanjung Malaysia, especially in Malaya, we need to dig a little deeper when it comes to understanding what does it mean to be a Malaysian. And we need to be a bit more prominent and showing that a bit more, because so that as, at least, at the very least, our younger generation will know what it means to be a Malaysian, since we've given them the power to vote. When Undi 18 came up and it was approved, how many of you were excited? Yay, 18 years old can vote. At the same time, how many of you were scared? I'm scared too, okay? I'm scared too, okay? Here's why I know why, okay? And I can give you a valid reason why to be afraid, okay? In Boys Brigade, we had this award called the Citizenship Award, okay? All right. And it's all the basics of what it means of Malaysia and so, you know, and so on and so forth. When I teach this to some students, they did not know that we had 13 states. They did not know we have 3 wilayah persekutuan, not just one anymore. Yeah? Many of them thought Cheras was his own state. You know? Some of them even think Perak is in Ipoh and not Ipoh is in Perak. Because people go to Ipoh all the time, they don't talk about Perak. And we gave them the authority to determine the leaders of our country. So let me exhort us today, Micah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, so that we may not only teach in theory, but live in practice. What does it mean to be a Christian in the country that God has placed us in? Here's what it says. Listen to what the Lord says. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against His people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. My people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, and also Aaron and Miriam. My people, remember when Balak, king of Moab, plotted, and when Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous act of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for Malaya. Thank you, O God, that in less than 67 years ago, when no one thought of what it means to be a united Malaya Peninsula, and nine states gathered together, nine royalties were brought together, and the governors, how would this work? We thank you, God, that you, the Ancient of Days, you who the foundations of the earth you have made and laid out. We thank you that you have a plan and you have a heart and a love for Malaya to be made useful for your kingdom and to the ends of the earth. Teach us, O God, on how we may be accountable to the nation that you have given us with greater dignity, with greater responsibility, that we may appreciate and preserve that which you've given us today, that we may be prosperous, not just in sense of money, but especially in the richness on how the gospel can be heard so freely in this nation. Thank you so much, O God. We commit this into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Micah, written by Micah, he is a minor prophet. Not that he is any less of a prophet than anyone else. It's just that he wrote less. He was a prophet for Judah, okay, which is the southern state of Israel, southern kingdom of Israel. Although he had mentioned things about Israel in the north. And of course, the main accusation that Micah and his contemporaries, Isaiah and Jeremiah, the accusation that these prophets have to the people of Israel in those days are a few. Number one, idolatry. They had forsaken God and picked up idols. Number two, they did not preserve the holiness of the king and the kingdom. The king and the kingdom actually plays a very vital role in spirituality for Israel. Before they take up the throne, they are supposed to rewrite the law, which is from Genesis to Deuteronomy. They are to write it out themselves, and when they finish writing, they are to read it and to keep it in their hearts all the days of their lives. Before they go before the throne, they must give a sacrifice of penitence, meaning to say that they must seek for forgiveness because they know that they are unworthy people. And instead of being crowned by a minister or by anyone else in the realm or by a governor or by another prince, he is anointed and crowned by the high priest and the prophet. But all these holiness was forsaken. The kings after Solomon, in fact, King Solomon himself, with so many compromises, began the unfurling of the holiness of Israel. So that's one. Okay, one was idolatry. Two was the lack of holiness of king and kingdom. And number three, it is very much to do with the fact that they were keeping to themselves. So Micah was speaking to not just to the royalty, he was speaking to the elitist groups, people who made their own little kingdoms in the kingdom of Israel, when actually all of Israel, they are called to speak, to help and share and care across borders, across social disparities, so that all of Israel may prosper together. But no, the rich got richer, the poor got poorer, and everything was brought to disdain. Does that sound familiar? I won't comment further. So Micah then goes up to the mountains and then made this accusation on behalf of the Lord. He says to the mountains, "Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel." First thing about a Christian in his country is that he stands for justice. He stands for justice. If you want the 3 points now, it's very simple: to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. These three things. You will find this not only in verse 8, you will find this very much embedded in verses 1 to 7. And so it makes sense to use these points especially. Okay? Number one, we are to act justly. We are to look not merely at the social injustice that is happening on the surface, but we are called to actually look at the roots of the injustice as to why does the problem keep on coming up. So don't just look at the problem, look at why the problem keeps on coming up. Let me pull out our constitution. I'd like to remind us something very interesting. The Baptist faith and message in the constitution of Pantai Baptist Church is very comprehensive. It includes our role in country and community. Let me read it for you. It says, on civil government, he says, civil government being ordained of God, it is the duty of Christians to render loyal obedience thereunto in all things, not contrary to the revealed will of God. The church should not resort to the civil power to carry out its work, separation of church and state. The gospel of Christ contemplates spiritual means alone for the pursuit of its ends. The church and state should be separate. So we look at the government and we say that they are an instrument of God for righteousness. Romans chapter 13 verse 1 actually makes it very clear. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Okay? So we look at, therefore, the authority and establishment that God has put in the likes of Jerusalem, but that doesn't mean that we just let it be. Rather, we are always standing contrasting to the foundations or to the governments of the day to show them what righteousness looks like and therefore what true justice is. In verse 2, we see, "Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusation." It's not any mountain in general. It's particularly the mountain which Jerusalem is standing on. Okay? So it's in that area. All right? "Listen, you everlasting foundations," meaning, "Listen, you nation whom God has put for you from the beginning of time. The Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel." There is a parallelity here. The Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. There's a principle here. The condition of the nation is determined by the people. And how the people cares and loves one another determines the nation. So when Micah was accusing Israel, the first thing that he was talking about is the injustice of how the orphan, the widow, and the foreigner were being mistreated, abused, and be put in inhumane conditions just so that they can profit. So let's look at some of the justice that we should stand for in Malaya. Touchy, right? If I go to jail tomorrow, you know why lah. But no, this is things that we need to talk about, because this is some things that we as Malaysians, God will hold us accountable, hold you accountable to. I gave you a nation where the New Testament was given in Bahasa Melayu for over 400 years. What have you done with it? Now, I want to give praise and thanks for the likes of Bible Society Malaysia, who has been defending the rights of Malaysians to use the national language for worship, for reading, and for the knowledge of God. Yeah? We've been working very hard, and now we have come to fruition, okay? For Bahasa Malaysia alone, 3 Bible versions, okay? One is the Alkitab Berita Baik. Number 2 is the Alkitab Versi Borneo, okay? And now there'll be a new version, so Alkitab Suci, which will be published out in November. And it's a good Bible version. I think that's great. With this Bahasa Bible, the majority of the Christian community will then have access on the knowledge of God, the deepening of discipleship, and the growing of the gospel. Now, some of you may look at me and say, Mark, what do you mean by majority? I thought most Christians speak English. No. Over 55% of the Christian population go to Malay language churches. Granted, they're mostly in Sabah and Sarawak, and that's something that we need to be thankful for. Yeah? But it then means, that brings us the question. Have we translated justly the resources that is given to us in English to the majority Christian community? We take pride in having these 3 Bible versions. But can I also let you know that while we are doing that, there are cults out there that have already translated their version of the Bible and their books of Mormon and all that. They have translated them into Dusun for Sabah, Iban for Sarawak, yeah, and of course Bahasa Melayu for Semenanjung. So in Iban, thankfully we have 1 Bible version, but unfortunately, even the Iban say it's not good enough. More work needs to be done. In Sabah, there's in Bahasa Melayu, but the Alkitab Versi Borneo is being well received. However, Dusun is a large group of community on the west side of Sabah, and they are not having their Bible version to really permeate into their heart language. Yeah, and let's not even begin to talk about Bahasa Jakun, Bahasa Semai, Bahasa Negros. Do you guys know who these guys are? Where are they from? They are the Orang Asli in Semenanjung. Some of us will be like, who are they? I thought Jakun is a bad word. Right? We always say, you Jakun, you. No, it's not. It's not. It's an actual tribe. So we're belittling them when we do that. In a recent trip in wanting to learn more about missions in Borneo, a pastor gave us this very interesting insight. He said, actually, in Isaiah 43, it talks about how the head should not be the tail, and the tail should not be the head. So much more work needs to be done for our Bahasa-speaking community, who in fact should be the head of the Christian representation in Malaysia. I'm speaking something very practical here. Yeah? So I wonder how many of us, brothers and sisters here, ever thought of dabbling a bit into reading the BM Bible, which is available for free online. It's not like last time we had to go and find some sort of little bookshop that stores it somewhere in the back. It's not on the inventory, but you ask, ada. No need. Go to www.alkitabversiborneo.com. It's right there. You know? A very common blessing that is normally given to many traditional churches is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Be with you all. Anybody here know how to say that in Bahasa Melayu? So when you want to give a blessing to our brothers and sisters, the majority community, would you even know how to? Kasih kurnia Tuhan Yesus, kasih sayang Bapa di syurga, dan persekutuan Roh Kudus berada bersamamu, sekarang dan selama-lamanya. Justice, may seem, what I'm saying here may seem to be a very small thing. but it's very deep. The problem that what we think is justice, that the moment something big happens, we react by social media and hope that it will count him and fix the problem on top. But unfortunately, we've been doing that so many times that we didn't know that the big chasm is actually growing at the bottom, and it had to take someone to fall down into it in order to realize, oh, actually the problem is much, much deeper. We pray for the auntie that from India that got lost in one of those literal ones. Although I'm talking about a metaphorical one. If you want to know a bit more deeply, I suggest talk to Brother Lee Han of Crest. We have seen how all the reactions on top, actually systemically, there are things going on at the bottom we need to address and help. But the question is, are we doing anything at all? The problem that Micah is talking about, to do justice, the word there, do, is specific to say that it's basically to accuse the Israelite community that they're not doing it at all. I pray the Lord will grow in our hearts things that we can do, not just for charity, but for justice. Justice is basically what should rightfully be, we help it make it be. And that includes helping our Bahasa community. It also includes thinking about what does it mean to be a Malaysian Christian. It also includes not looking merely at the surface and doing charity on top, but rather going down to the bottom, to the root of it, so that many will rise and grow for future generations. First, do justice. Secondly, love mercy. If you read from verse 3 to verse 5, you would think that God was going to accuse them right up front and say, it's all your fault. These are the wrongs that you've done. He will do that later in chapter 7. But that will be more on a reflective mode, Israel's misery. Yeah? Because of the wrong of the people, the nation then suffers. But what God does, as he normally would, because he's such a gracious and loving God, is that he reminds them of how much mercy they have received, and therefore they have no excuse but to render mercy unto others. We read verse 3, my people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Answer me. Although it may seem rhetorical up front here, I think God really meant to say, hey, answer me. How have I burdened you? And the people of Israel couldn't really say much. Because up on the mountain, there's waters abounding. There are oases, and there's fertile ground in the middle of a desert. There is a port connection from the west side going out west. And so there's international business going on there. So much so that during the time of Solomon, the Queen of Sheba, that was all the way down in the continent of Africa, went all the way up to see Solomon and to have that business relations there. So much prosperity. God basically saying, my dear Israel, what have I done to you? Answer me. And we are without answer. Now, I know many of us Malaysians here, we may feel like, oh, you know, we could live better. You know, if there was less discrimination, it would be good. But please bear in mind, friends, discrimination was not done by God. Discrimination was done by man. And so where there is mankind, there will be discrimination. When you go over to another country, you think there's no racism? There is. And there will be everywhere we are, because it's innate in human sin. It's not in the providence of God. And so God then gives them reasons as to why they can trust him. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, and also Aaron and Miriam. So if Moses wasn't enough, I gave you Aaron, I gave you Miriam. He gives you three leadership: the priesthood, worship, and the law. And there's plentiful to go forward. My people, remember when Balak, king of Moab, plotted, and when Balaam, son of Beor, answered. Basically, Balak, king of Moab, and Balaam, son of Beor, represent all the external enemies all around Israel. They had plotted to try and take over Israel for all these years, and yet somehow they were thwarted. They could not do it, even though they're such a small country in comparison to the other empires around. Why? It is the Lord's providence and protection. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous act of the Lord. Basically, everywhere they went, whether it be in the wilderness, from city to city. So whether they were in Israel, the people, or Israel, a country, God has been faithfully merciful. I give thanks to God for Malaya. We were not absorbed by the kingdoms of the north. We were not put together by a pact of Southeast Asia. We were able to stand on our own two legs. And for some reason, all other countries could have just basically absorbed us. We're just a small peninsula. Yeah? Sarawak is already bigger than us. Don't even think about Thailand. Copy and paste Semenanjung, and you can fit almost every country, and with plenty to spare, except Singapore. Obviously, lah. Okay, in Southeast Asia. And yet here we are, with 9 sultanates and 3 governors, and we are able to come together in unity and harmony to progress as a nation. This is the mercy of God. And it could have gone full-blown one way, extreme radicalism, or utterly liberal. Yet God has been able to keep us in the straight and narrow. By His mercy, we may continue to proclaim the true gospel. Without going into too deep into details, let me put it this way. The Methodist Church in Malaysia today has this issue where if they have children that are going overseas and they ask which church should they go to, they cannot recommend a Methodist church in America. They cannot recommend a Methodist church in the UK. Why? Because the United Methodist Church in America and the Methodist churches in the UK and the Methodist churches in Australia and New Zealand have gone utterly liberal and have been ordaining LGBT pastors and bishops for the past 15 to 20 years. For some reason, in all of their freedoms, which they take for granted because they forgot the mercies of God, they end up imploding on their own. Whereas for us, we are given the luxury and privilege, even in our struggle, to be able to stand what the gospel truly is. Friends, are we sharing the mercy of God? We are called to be Christ bearers, not Karens. I think only the millennials understood that. We are called to be Christ bearers. We're supposed to show the mercy of God and not be Karens. If there are Karens here, I don't mean you in particular. But Karen is a nickname for that lady who always complains in every place and every, I want to see your manager. I'm not happy with this. I want a discount for that. I want a refund for that. Is that another name for that kind of person? Okay, so the millennials, they call it Karen. We're called to be Christ bearers, not complainers. We're called to be Christ bearers to give not just a hand out, but a hand up. To give a hand out, not a hand up. Let me bring back again another illustration from a recent trip that I had. Okay, in thinking about missions for Sabah and Sarawak, a very interesting thing came to mind, and that is this. We always think about our Borneo brothers and sisters as migrants coming here, and they settle among themselves. They keep to themselves for worship and their culture and their heritage and so on and so forth, and we let them be. Maybe once in a while, we will dip into Tuhao, or Tuhao, which is their belacan. We'll dip into their food, their culture, we'll sing some songs and live happily ever after while they're here, while waiting for them to quickly go back to Sabah Sarawak, because we know that's where they want to be anyway. But this pastor friend of mine, I said something very interesting. Hey, while they are here, and they're here for 3 to 10 years, you know, why can't we look at them as equals to help share about the mercy of God to their colleagues? But how? They only know BM. Well, when we are planning to go to Sabah and Sarawak to help them, what do we do? What do we do? We learn Malay, right? We learn Bahasa Melayu so that we can communicate as quickly as we can in Sabah and Sarawak. Maybe for helping them to have a leg up over here in Semenanjung to be gospel bearers in this part of the world, we should say, hey, we should teach them how to share the gospel in English. Because many of their colleagues who are not Malay, they're all English speaking. And so maybe they should be equipped so that, like missionaries from that side to here, not just this side to there, they may come here and by the mercy of God, be able to share God's mercies to all those around here as well. Don't look at them as merely looking at charity. Look at them as gospel partners for the mercies of God. Would we do that, my dear friends? How many of us here ever looked at our fellow Malaysians here in Malaya, who may not be from Malay Peninsula, but we look at them maybe lesser than us? And when actually we should elevate them to be our equals, at least. To do justice, to love mercy, and to finally walk humbly with your God. Verse 6 and 7 gives a very interesting statement. It's a set of rhetorical questions. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? So basically, Micah is helping the people realize, is that, by the way, guys, when God gives this judgment unto you, he's not asking for any sort of reparations. He doesn't care. I mean, look at verse 7. Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000s of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil, which is basically the burnt offering, the oil offering, the bread offering, the manna offering, the harvest offering, all these things for penitence? He already has. The meat that they gave is actually his in the first place. The rivers of olive oil is his in the first place. So in that tandem, check this out. Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, of the sin of my soul? First of all, he's saying that child, the firstborn, is his in the first place because we're all children of God, number one. But also number two, see the parallelity? You give meat, it was mine in the first place. You give oil, it's mine in the first place. You give your son, now mine I give first. And my gift of the firstborn is the one and only forevermore. To walk humbly before God is not a sense of, keeping our faith small and quiet and simple. No, the other word that can be used here for humbly is the word prudently. To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk prudently with your God. While humility thinks that we are to make our bodies smaller, prudently means, no, we should maximize how we can best use the gospel as an impact for this nation. Yeah? And that is why, from verse 6 and 7, it says this, I'm not looking for any sort of display of piety. I'm not looking for any display of wealth that you're giving. We're not looking for reparations. We're looking for real repentance. And that's why in verse 8, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. and what does the Lord require of you? So put all that wealth aside. It's not for you, it's not for God, it's for those whom He is asking us to help. Your upper, the mercies that God has given you, the life that He has given you as a Malaysian Christian in Malaya, we have been shown all kinds of mercy. Can we therefore bring this before God and say, Lord, how may I do this? How may I glorify you with what you have given me? That is what it means to walk prudently before the Lord. Maybe the first thing we can do is come together for prayer. So on 31st August, normally, if it's not the first week, it's online. But for 31st August, we're meeting physically, Saturday, second hall. Specifically, we are praying for Malaysia, and we're praying on how we, the Church of Jesus Christ in Malaysia, can do what is God calling us to do in this time and in this age. So I invite you, brothers and sisters, yeah, it will be a free time of worship and prayer, fervent prayer, as we think about what God is seeking us to do for the nation that we are given by God's mercy. For a closing song, we are going to sing something a little different. You may look at it first and foremost as a patriotic song, but the first verse already shows that it's actually a song of praise. The song is called Sejahtera Malaysia. I wonder if you guys remember that. Yeah, it was put on RTM on TV1 at 10 o'clock at night. Five ladies in various national clothing come out and sing this, right? All right. The first verse is Puji dan syukur pada Ilahi anugerahnya tiada terhingga kedamaian kemakmuran Malaysia ku bahagia. Praise and thanks to God. His gift knows no limits. He gives peace and prosperity. And because of that, my country, Malaysia, is happy and well. Dengan tekad untuk berjaya, berbakti pada Nusa dan bangsa, kami junjung cita-cita luhur perpaduan seluruh negeri. With the determination to succeed and to serve our land and our people, we carry our noble ambitions for the unity throughout the nation. Seia, sekata, sehati, sejiwa, menghadapi cabaran, kami setia berkorban untuk negara. Unanimous in voice, in word, in heart, in soul, we will face the challenges ahead. We are ready, we are willing to sacrifice for this country. Why? Because Christ did that already. Bersemarak Malaysia tercinta. Kibarkan panji kebesarannya. Kami rela menjaga namamu, Sejahtera Malaysia. Beloved Malaysia, may you grow abundantly. May you let the banner of your country fly with pride. We are ready, we are willing to safeguard your reputation, your heritage as a nation of a peaceful and a safe Malaysia. Brothers and sisters, have we been playing our role? Are we merely Christians in Malaysia? Or are we taking up the banner and say that I am a Malaysian Christian, one that will be part of the nations, tribes, and tongues to sing the glory of our God? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before you with great thanksgiving. You may ask us this question, what do we have? What problems do we have? We have problems, O God, and we know that by your grace, you will help us overcome them for your glory. But truly, O God, we give you praise and thanks. You have given us so much, even though we have done so little. Lord, we confess that which you call us to do, we did not do. And that which we are not supposed to do, we did it anyway. Forgive us, O God. Forgive us for thinking that being a Christian means it doesn't mean anything about being a Malaysian. But you were the one that told us to give to Caesar that which is Caesar's and give to God that which is God's. Lord, let us not be confused to think that the nation belongs to itself. No. The nation belongs to you. That which is God's, we give back to you. This nation, the Lord, belongs to you. We thank you, O God. We could have been absorbed into any other affiliations or associations all those years ago. But you had chosen to preserve us, Malaya, so that we may usher in a new country, a new hope for the gospel here in Southeast Asia. We ask, O God, that we would do justice to it, that we will maximize it, that we will be gospel bearers for every nation, tribe, and tongue represented in Malaya, so diverse. Lord, teach us to do mercy well, to not just give a hand out, but a hand up, to help our brothers and sisters here, that they may, though they may not speak English, though they may not be superior in education, they are actually a fellow Malaysian, and they should rise to the occasion as a fellow brother in mission for your good news. And in all these things, O God, we ask that we walk humbly before you. We walk prudently to find ways to maximize your kingdom so that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, in Malaysia, as it is in heaven. Now, O God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will cause us to dream dreams and have visions for this nation. How much we are willing, and we ask, God, that you convict our hearts, that we'll be willing to rise to the occasion, so that truly we may have a Sejahtera Malaysia. So God, in these few weeks, we pray that our patriotism will not just be mementos, but our patriotism will be actually founded by the fact that you have thought of Malaysia and you loved it so much that you gave your son. For every Malaysian here, O God, and for everyone who has been passing by here and has come to love this country, I pray, O God, that you would, if they have not yet heard your good news, O Lord, I pray they'll take advantage that while they're here, they may hear the good news of Jesus Christ who died for their sins and has risen on the third day. That you alone are the true and living God. May they come to realize that is who you are. And in Malaysia, they may find the salvation of our God. And what a privilege that is. Thank you so much, O God. May we grow to be, not by anyone's peace, but by yours alone, that we may be a Sejahtera Malaysia. In Jesus' name we pray.